In this latest Edgar podcast, we had the privilege of speaking with one of the G4D Tour's finest golfers, Lachlan Wood from Australia. Lachlan has overcome some serious physical and mental challenges when he was younger, and he's risen to become a fine golfer again. He cares so much about the game and the people who play it, so he's definitely worth talking to. So let's meet Lachlan Wood. Lachlan Wood can vividly recall, even now, the smell of petrol in the smashed-up car as he lay trapped as a 16-year-old. But that story is now being replaced by an altogether better one. Lachlan, or Lockie to his mates, doesn't do things by halves, good or bad. "I can be a little bit obsessive," says the 32-year-old Australian. He could be accused of that in a negative way when he threw away all the hard hours of becoming a fine golfer in his early 20s, to the point where he hated the game. But a little obsessive behaviour is also sometimes needed to survive. 10 years after quitting golf, Lachlan was not only winning a flagship international event back in December 2023, the Australian All Abilities Championship, but on that day, he would have gladly carried on playing, hole after hole, even after earning the victory. He didn't want it to end. Such was the joy he was feeling in playing golf again so well. Sport can offer a convenient feeling of redemption when it all goes well. But for Lachlan, his personal redemption started without a golf club in his hand, helping to save lives, something for which he should be very proud. Lachlan grew up near Melbourne in Victoria and was sports mad as a kid, playing everything.
Played footy when we were younger. Like, I played inline hockey, footy, cricket, any sport that we could play, basically. Squash, we'd play it. I remember Mum having a talk to me one night in the back of the station wagon. It was full of sports gear. Every night of the week, there was a different sport that we're going to. And she was like, "You've got to pick one. Like, you just can't keep going on." So in the end, that's where golf sort of come out ahead. It was the newest sport at the time. And they ended up being the one that got chosen to, you know, continue on.
He started golf properly at about 12 after being first introduced to the game by his dad, Warren. Lockie's best mate, James Marchesani, was a single-figure handicap by the age of 11, who would later become a professional player, but at first he struggled to convince his friends about the game. They didn't like the look of it.
I think golf was the worst sport ever. You know, we didn't even think it was a sport. And then, you know, he's like, no, you got to try it. We would go to his house after school and he had a little par three in the backyard, like a 60-metre hole with a full-on green in it, a bunker and everything that his dad had built, and would, you know, have a hit and try and hit balls over the back fence and stuff. You know, and that's what sort of ultimately got me into trying it and playing golf. You know, there's a golf course, you know, a kilometre down the road from me, so I'd ride my bike up there and have a hit after school and sort of got hooked that way.
When Lockie was 15, he got to a handicap of 3 to finally match James for the first time. The boys won tournaments the same weekend, James the competition at their home golf club called Rosebud, and Lachlan winning the competition at the National Golf Club, 10 minutes up the road. The pair's results both featured in the same local newspaper. Lachlan chose to cut out the page with scissors and keep it. He smiles when he tells the stories of he and James growing up, a sense of humour he retains to this day, and he clearly likes and respects fellow golfers who are prepared to put in the hard work. Aussie professional tour players Adam Scott and Aaron Baddeley were doing just that when he was growing up, and Lachlan wanted to make it as a professional himself. At 16, he signed up as an apprentice at Rosebud, going at it full tilt. He planned to practice there every day around his shifts for 2 years in order to qualify as a PGA professional at 18. It was all there in his mind. One evening, Lachlan was sitting in the back seat of a car full of young lads, just driving around as many teenagers do. A couple of the boys were dropped off and Lachlan joined the driver in the front. On a two-lane main road on the edge of the city, travelling far too quickly, the driver lost control and the car hit a roadside pole and went flying, tumbling over around 5 times before finally coming to rest.
I do remember the accident, so it felt like 5 minutes, the crash, when the car's crashing, but it probably only took a few seconds. And I thought I was genuinely dead. Like it sounded, when it lost control, it sounded like a grenade went off next to the car when it hit the pole. It went pitch black. I got sprayed in the face with glass. you know, the loudest noise that my eardrum felt like they'd burst. And then it went dead quiet, and then it would smash and make a really loud bang, get sprayed in the face with glass, but it was pitch black. And that happened 5 times. And it felt like eternity in between each time. And that was the car. I didn't realize it was a car rolling. And each time it hit the ground, got glass and dirt through my face. And when it finally came to rest and stopped, pitch black, I had my eyes shut. I wasn't sure. I'm like, I'm dead. Each time it went smash, smash, smash. And then when it stopped, I wasn't sure if I was dead or alive until I heard someone make a noise. You know, it goes, everyone all right, everyone all right. And I remember thinking, yeah, I'm fine. Didn't feel any pain at the time. Opened my eyes to this shattered car and everything. And I didn't know up, down, left, right. By that time, people had gotten out of the car. The driver had gotten out of the car. I undid my seatbelt, and then all of a sudden I was just upside down, looking up at my legs just mashed into the dash, and it sort of tucked in underneath, all the seat pushed into the dash or the dash pushed into the seat. Couldn't really tell. And then my legs sort of went into the rubble and then underneath. And then I couldn't see because it was at night and the windscreen was all shattered. It was an old car. And I remember, this is not good. I need to get out. I could smell petrol as well. So I thought, shit, if I'm in here for much longer, it's going to be bad. And I remember yelling out for help and then trying to claw through the windscreen. And then someone tried to kick the windscreen in, just kick glass in my face. And then I don't remember much after that. I blacked out and got dragged out of the car, or cut out of the car from the back, apparently. And that was by the SES, like the road rescue people. And then my next memories are in hospital like a week later.
The work in the operating theatre resulted in Lachlan's left leg being held together by 14 screws and a metal plate. He has faced around 40 surgeries since the crash, 6 in the last 5 years or so. His back is permanently scarred where 2 muscles were taken to graft into the repair work on his shattered and now shorter left leg. A 16-year-old doesn't have to hear every grisly detail for their own sake, though Lockie's mum, Meg, would learn more in the corridor from the surgeons. How they would take muscles from his back to remake the left leg so that maybe he could keep it, help him to play golf again. But he was told a bone had smashed to pieces like a dropped Easter egg. 12 months from the accident, he was still in a wheelchair, before 12 months on crutches. It would be 2 years before he could put his shoe on his damaged left foot again. The legacy for Lockie is he is now unable to move the foot or ankle in a conventional way. A special compression sock must be worn to assist with swelling and protect the delicate grafts in the leg. To compound matters, surgeons learned he was left with a complicated and dangerous infection between the metal and bone in his leg, which the medics leave alone, as stimulation could make it thrive and endanger him further. Meg Wood was worried about her son Lockie, so put aside her growing mobile hairdressing business to be at home to help him. A fortunate move, as when he came out of hospital, he would be joined by his older brother Bradley, who, living out in Indonesia, having started his own clothing and surf business, had crashed his scooter in a horrific accident of his own, tearing many of the nerves in his neck and shoulders and breaking his own leg. The pair, and Bradley's twin Matthew, remained so grateful to their mum and dad for their love and support, and were delighted Meg managed to build up her hairdressing business once again. As soon as Lachlan could put his left foot down on the floor, he was hitting balls in the backyard, the first time for just 30 seconds, before the foot felt like it was on fire. He purchased a little golf net on eBay and set it up in the yard, wheeled his chair up to it, stood to the ball with his crutches and hit a shot, and then sat back down again for a rest before hitting another, swinging with all the weight on the back foot but hitting proper golf shots for the first time again. His dad bought him a little motorised one-seat scooter so he could shoot round to Rosebud Golf Club and hit a few shots. After weeks of intense effort, a high point came when he put together a score of 75, as only a fine player can, hitting nice low draws off the tee, nudging irons to the green, and chipping and putting like a pro. But the pain of playing was a constant, and the recovery time after any long session became demoralising. Lachlan maintained that desire to go full tilt at things, lacking a sense of moderation and patience. He entered tournaments, and despite an epic fight to get back to a 2 handicap over months of work, he could see how he was falling behind the pack of fellow young players, many golfers he knew he had been better than. The chronic pain was assuaged by taking lots of painkillers. But instead of being positive about making remarkable strides to get back to health and to be able to play golf again, Lachlan became angry with the game and his body until, when aged just 21, in his words, he completely gave it away. He couldn't even bear to watch golf on the TV.
So I tried to go back to school and finish off like the next year of school at TAFE. You know, I ended up going down a bad path of, you know, drinking, drugs and stuff like that, hanging out with some bad people. You know, got a bit depressed. Anything I could do to sort of take my mind off what had happened or what had been taken away from me. And that went on for probably 3 years, 4 years.
His brother Bradley had the great idea of taking Lachlan out of himself by the two lads volunteering for the very organisation which had helped save him 6 years earlier from the smashed up car, the State Emergency Service. Here, Lachlan put everything he had into the role and even volunteered to give presentations to young people applying for their vehicle licences on the dangers of driving recklessly.
I was the most active member at one point. I was living right near the station. We had pages, obviously, so if a code one went off where it was a, you know, priority call with a car accident, you got there as quick as possible, and I'd always be in the first couple of people. So you got to go to the really good jobs and help out straight away and then get trained up with more skills. So through them, I got a heap of qualifications and volunteered a lot of time, and it was really rewarding. And then I started volunteering for Teenage Road Accident Group, who did presentations, like graphic presentations, for kids about to get their license, you know, and so people who had lost loved ones or people who had been to jail or police officers who had been first on scene, you know, at multiple fatalities. And then doing that, I sort of turned my life around, got my health back and sort of looked after myself. And I was trying to get, you know, as healthy and as fit as possible. And I've always been a, you know, a bit of an obsessive person in the sense, whatever I did, I sort of overdid it, you know, whether it was drinking or, you know, going to the gym, I always overdid it and pushed it as much. And I still do it now with golf.
When trying to qualify for the Metropolitan Fire Service to gain a regular wage alongside his SES volunteering, Lachlan was required to pass fitness tests, including running. He pushed it all too far again, resulting in tearing inner muscles, bleeding internally and passing blood in his urine. And all this meant he missed the next intake of firefighters. It was in the heat of a restive holiday in Indonesia that Lachlan realised just how good a steady high temperature was for his body. He thus left behind the cooler off-season in Melbourne, instead moving house to the more consistent heat of Queensland on the east coast, settling in the affordable area of Hervey Bay, thanks to a bus driver's tip. Fortunately, he succeeded in getting his partner Harriet to move up there with him. He had recently met Harriet in Melbourne at a Bikram yoga class. She was finishing her university degree to become a nurse. She now works in the emergency department at Hervey Bay. I remember on our first date, I told her I'm moving to Queensland, Lachlan tells us. Maybe in a month, could be in six, I'm not sure. But she didn't run away. She stayed to finish her degree and then moved up here a year later and has been putting up with me, or looking after me, ever since. In a bid to make new friends and relax, one day he considered playing some golf, and he found he enjoyed it. At Hervey Bay Golf Club, a friendly member called Michael Pascoe took him under his wing and later gently reminded him that his was a talent perhaps too good to waste. Michael had watched the Australian All Abilities event in 2020 and said if he qualified, he would be his caddy. Lachlan decided to look into qualifying for his PGA licence again, and this time he was going to do it right. He has since become a coach at Hervey Bay and currently coaches Monday to Thursday as he trains on the Pathway programme for his PGA of Australia qualification. Lachlan had heard of the Edgar podcast series, Tough Love and Second Chances, and every Monday on the way to PGA trainee matches, he would listen to one in his car. He listened to them over 6 months, and then one day in December 2022, he heard the recorded words of Christian Hamilton, the ever calm and super positive senior manager of programmes and inclusion for Golf Australia. An innovator and a highly encouraging voice, Christian's description of Golf Australia's inclusive approach to supporting golfers with a disability struck a chord. Lachlan would later email Christian and got a prompt reply about how he could enter the All Abilities events, as they are called in Australia. For Lachlan, the impact was immediate.
Yeah, definitely. Like it sort of gave you a place to belong in a sense, and people that understood golf's hard, but then there's harder things out there. And then, you know, made you, gave you a new sort of love for the game and a new pathway to sort of be competitive but still enjoy it. And then at the same, you can't get frustrated for, you know, what's wrong with you, because there's always someone that's got it worse, especially at those big events. There's always someone there that may be the worst golfer, but they're having the best day because they're just happy to be there, you know, to get out of the house and play. It gives you a different perspective, for sure.
The world ranking for golfers with disability offers the players the means to rise up the meritocracy and, for some, qualify for the major international series called the G4D Tour, which is staged by the DP World Tour and EDGAR, which last year, in 2023, included 9 tournaments around the world, as far as field as Europe, the United Arab Emirates, Singapore and Australia. In the 2023 calendar year, Lachlan would qualify for 3 of these, including the G4D Tour at Betfred British Masters at the Belfry in England in May, the aforementioned Australian All Abilities Championship in Sydney, which is part of the Australian Open. But the first would be his most challenging because of the many hours in the aeroplane travelling to get to England and the cold weather on arrival. This was the G4D Open at Woburn, staged by the RNA and DP World Tour, supported by EDGAR. It led to a tough opening round, but the total of his next 2 rounds over the challenging Duchess course would only be bettered by world number 1 Kip Poppert of England and the eventual winner, Ireland's Brendan Lawler. Lachlan had now served notice on his ability. He finished 8th, and he soon realised he could compete happily with the top 5 G4D players in the world. At the time of writing, Lockie is ranked 7th, while sharing a deep respect for overcoming their challenges. He tells a story about he and Italian player Tommaso Perino, who is world ranked 8th, who has a similar long-term infection in his leg following a motor scooter accident in his youth.
We travelled from the Australian Open to Florida together for that World Champions Cup. And that's where we'll lean on each other's shoulder, you know, like we had sort of 1 good leg each. So we just sort of, and it sort of worked out right. His is on his right, mine's on my left. Because we had to walk like every airport, you know what I mean? You're walking 2 kilometres, I reckon. We were both exhausted after the Australian Open. So I remember we had, you know, I had my arm around his shoulder, he had his arm around mine. And we sort of just limped each other through the airport for about 2 kilometres. And then same in Florida.
Lachlan didn't realise how special the ISPS Handa Australian All Abilities Championship would be, from the excellent facilities for the players to playing in front of large crowds at times. G4D Tour events are played on the same course in the same week as that of the famous professional players, the golfers sharing the practice area and players' room with the stars. The television people and international sports media roll up to cover the action. Family and friends followed the tournament on TV. A certain Michael Pascoe was his caddy, as he promised, while his old schoolmate James was in the main field of professionals. The pair ended up in the lunchroom eating together and catching up, laughing at just how good the course was and how exciting the challenge was. Then he was on the range, standing beside one of his heroes.
Yeah, 100%. Like, I was hitting balls on the driving range and Adam Scott teed up next to me and I was up against the fence on the hard left side, and there was probably 300 people who just walked up and started watching, you know, every single shot. He was right next to me. And then when he left, I was still there. They all just disappeared, you know. Like, but it's a surreal feeling.
Lachlan would go on to beat Kip Poppert, Brendan Lawler, Tommaso Perino and others by 3 clear shots at the event, and his rounds of 71, 72 and 70 finished with a birdie to end on par for the course, a further achievement in his own eyes.
If someone had said, you know, would you play a 4th round, I would have jumped at the opportunity, even after being 3 shots ahead after 3 days. Like, it was so enjoyable and I had full control of my golf ball all day, every day. Didn't feel like it was finishing, if you know. Like, I remember when I finished on the 18th, I just didn't feel like it was done. I was more than happy to keep going.
Alongside the G4D events, Lachlan entered the competitive professional Adidas PGA Pro-Am Series in Australia last year, where he beat established professionals to win the Tin Can Bay Pro-Am in July, shooting a 6-under par 66, and finished tied first in the Bell Property Balimba Pro-Am in August. Following on from his Australian All Abilities Championship victory, in February 2024, he secured second place in the G4D Tour Magical Kenya Open and said he remains hugely grateful to all at the G4D Tour for their support in the travel and accommodation for he and his fellow players. As we were speaking with Lachlan, he had just received notification that he had qualified for a new landmark G4D Tour event in the US, the G4D Tour CJ Cup Byron Nelson in Texas. Lachlan will be teeing it up on April the 29th to the 30th and understands the opportunities in the first G4D Tour event on American soil.
Yeah, it's massive. But it feels like another major event on the calendar, basically, to get the opportunity to go up in front of the PGA Tour and the PGA Tour fans and the people of America, basically. It feels like a huge opportunity to be the first one to do it and do well there. Would be great to see the whole scoreboard, you know, at par or under par, to then show that this is great for golf. Like, you know, bring us back, give us more events. You're going to inspire more people to play.
Again, going at it full tilt, Lachlan was shortly about to travel to Moona Links in Victoria, which holds the PGA Tour of Australasia qualifying school. He dreams of earning his full playing badge and entering events like the Australian Open and the New Zealand Open and more.
I'd love to get full status on that main tour. I wouldn't play full time. I wouldn't be able to, but I'd love to have the opportunity to do it. And I'd love to prove to those full-time players that the disabled golfers, if they work hard enough, that we can beat them, basically, that we can definitely get up there with them and beat them on a good day. Prove it to the PGA as well, you know, to hopefully push enough that they give us an opportunity. Like Kip Poppett at Kenya, like if he kept going the way he was going, put him on the back tees and he would have shot the same score. It wasn't that much difference, really. He would have made the cut by a long way and he would have finished in the top 10 and he probably could have taken out that event. He was playing that well and putting that well. Give us an opportunity, you know, like if we can get on that main tour, and that's what I'm hoping to do. I want status on there and I want to try and win on there.
The car crash and Lachlan's obsessiveness in the gym has left scars that mean he could never play full-time all year round. But there is no denying that his achievements are incredible. He has already come so far after first looking to match his friend James as a 12-year-old player. It's great that he still measures himself against his old friend.
I speak to James all the time. He's come up to Queensland and played a couple of pro-ams. I haven't said it to him yet, but I haven't beaten him, but he doesn't know that I'm trying to pip him. I'm waiting for that day we're on the same scoreboard and I'm above him.
He will no doubt cut out the newspaper clipping when it happens. Golf is the centrepiece of an ongoing story for Lockie, his partner Harriet, and all the family who support him so well. It feels like a story that isn't replacing, but is certainly redefining, the earlier narrative around the accident. This story now feels fresh, a brand new chapter, and is a great reflection on its emerging and evolving central character. From debilitating injury and depression on the fringes, to a true local hero on the golf links, who is sure to inspire many others to play the game. This Edgar podcast was written and narrated by Ben Evans, and the sound production was by Martin Maynard of Sounds Good. You can find more stories of people with a disability thriving through golf in the profiles section of the Edgar website at edgargolf.com, and you can contact members of our team through the website.